falling, falling down. Don't know which way is up. I wallow in my sin as pride raises up.
If a Christian listening right now wanted to start reaching the online generation and start to really enter into those communities and do those things, help us understand this. What really defines a solid internet community, and how do we find these communities? You know, the internet's kind of a fickle place. Communities kind of start and stop. What really defines a solid online community? I know, for instance, on your blog, you've pointed out there's things like Facebook and Twitter. These places are not communities. They're just platforms for community. So you don't say, I'm going to reach the Facebook community, because Facebook is actually a multiplicity of thousands of communities.
Yeah, I use a couple of different illustrations to talk about that. And that when you look at an acorn doesn't look like an oak tree. Unless you had planted an acorn and seen an oak tree come out of it, if you didn't know that an oak tree was going to come out, you have no idea that that acorn was going to become an oak tree. Now, sure, it has all the DNA of being an oak tree is contained within that acorn. But it requires the right environment and the right conditions over time for it to begin to sprout and blossom into an oak tree. Now, if you look at a sapling looks more like an oak tree than an acorn does. I mean, it has some leaves, it has some shoots, it's sticking out of the ground, it's not under the ground, it's not round anymore. So the idea here, though, is that the sapling, even though it bears more resemblance to an established oak tree, it still doesn't 100% resemble that, but it has all the DNA to be that, given time and the right conditions. And then you have the oak tree, and that's a lot like communities. You have some communities online that are in the acorn stage. They may not have the right conditions, they may not have the right amount of time, it may not be consistent over time, and as a result, it never sprouts. But all the DNA is there. Then you have some communities that they have sprouted, that it's beginning to grow, but some event could happen that could take them off at the knees and cause that community to scatter to the wind. And then you have established communities. And so what you have to realize when you walk into an online community is you have to have some kind of matrix that you use to sit there and say, okay, at what stage is this community, and how can I serve this community best at this stage? For sure. Example, a lot of communities are started around affinities. There are communities started around people that enjoy watching the television show Lost and started a blog about it, and lots of people started coming reading the blog and participating in discussions and all that kind of stuff. So that is there. You have people who gather around photography or who like Macs over PCs or PCs over Macs, who enjoy ministry. There's communities of ministers online, those kind of things. So there's an affinity that brought them together, whether they're dads, moms, whatever it is, it brought them together. And so that, a lot of times I look at what I call affinity communities, and if all they're doing is discussing the affinity, you know, the show or whatever, and they're not sharing and talking about life outside of that context, then I go, okay, this is an acorn community. Okay.
Okay.
They're not, it's brand new. If you remove the affinity, the community is going to scatter. Then I begin going in, and if I see a community in which people are not just discussing their affinity, like knitting, but they're also sharing and swapping photos of their kids and talking about their jobs and talking about what they're making for dinner and all those different kind of things, then I go, okay, this is a sapling community. They're talking with one another. Their conversations aren't just based around the affinity, even though they still have the affinity. If you remove the affinity, chances are the conversations would still happen because they've started sharing and talking about life in outside of that affinity. They've probably carried their conversation into multiple social media, so they're engaging each other on each other's blogs, they're engaging on Plurk or Twitter, they've shared their Facebook pages with one another.
Right.
So they're much more engaged with one another. And I go, okay, this is a much stronger community, but it's more of a sapling style community. Then I look at what I call very mature communities. And my brother's a part of one of these, and that they got into a game, a massively multiplayer online game, an MMORPG called World of Warcraft. And they played World of Warcraft every day with one another. They talked about it. They talked about their lives. They talked on chat. They shared cell phones. They talked about that. And after 2 years of doing that, all of the community decided that they wanted to meet face-to-face, and they got together in Arizona, all of them, for a week. And they all flew there. Most of them didn't live there, but somebody had a big enough house, and so they all flew there. They got to know each other offline. My brother ended up meeting his girl there and becoming, and now he's engaged to her. And I would call this a very mature community.
Right.
You get rid of World of Warcraft, these guys are talking outside of it. They're sharing life outside of it. They love each other. You know, that I would call a oak tree community. And so a lot of times when people raise the conversation about communities, what they're doing is they're comparing offline oak trees to online acorns and saying, look, there's no resemblance. And that's like comparing apples to oranges.
Right. As you identify these communities and as you're trying to identify what stage the community's in, eventually the goal for the online missionary who's entering that community is to start discovery Bible studies in these communities. Just so people know what that is, what are these studies like and what exactly are they?
Sure. A discovery Bible study is the term that we give to the select passages of Scripture from Genesis 1:1 to Christ that we use to disciple someone to a relationship with Jesus. We don't believe that the discipleship starts after someone has received the gospel. We believe that it actually starts the moment you start engaging them with the gospel. And so the Discovery Bible Study, which is actually free and available online, if you go to www.cpmtr.org, that's Church Planting Movement Training Resources is what that stands for, cpmtr.org, under resources, you can download the Discovery Bible Studies. The other thing about the Discovery Bible Studies is that the process of studying the Bible itself and having the small group also embeds the DNA of being obedient disciples that reproduce in community. We'll read scripture passages and we'll ask lost people from the beginning. We'll say, if this was true, how would your life be different? From day one, they're already thinking about obedience and realizing that reading scripture is not just an academic exercise, but it requires something on their part.
As a point of clarification here, obviously a lot of people who may be listening may be thinking, you know what, I've been to Bible studies before, and when we're all sitting around in a circle, everyone has probably a printed Bible, you know, a physical book in their hands as they're doing this. And of course, people could still do that in an online setting where, you know, everyone who's involved in the Bible study, has a physical Bible in their, you know, in their hands. But for the, you know, for those who don't have one, you recommend this, I think it's on your blog here, you've recommended this Bible, an online Bible called YouVersion. What is this?
There's two online resources that you could use, and both are really great. There's the BibleGateway.com that you can use and just send them a link to the passage of Scripture that you're going to be reading, and they can have that up on their screen. And YouVersion is very, very similar to Bible Gateway. Now, the nice thing about YouVersion is that you can all it's kind of a mix of that social media and reading the gospel. And so you can all be friends, and as you read the passage of Scripture together, when you make those statements that I am going to do this because I believe this is true, or then you could actually tag that on the passage of Scripture and share it with your other people who are in your Bible study, which adds in an element of accountability, because the next week you could review what everybody said and then ask the question, hey, did you try that? How did it go?
Well, I think that's awesome. I think not only is online social media developed to a point where there can be this sort of two-way street of communication, but they're incredibly Bible-centered as well, that we can have tools like YouVersion and other things that enable that two-way street of communication all centered around a text of Scripture. That's an incredible tool. Are there other tools? Let's say that someone really wants to get started in doing online evangelism and sharing their faith and building online community, or entering into a pre-existing community to share their faith and to build disciples. What's a good starter kit? What technology tools do you need to be proactive about reaching the online generation?
Well, there's a lot of good resources out there that talk about how to use tools and what tools to use. There's the standards that you need to just start engaging, and that is you need to be familiar with what Twitter is and how it works. You need to be familiar with technologies like Facebook and MySpace. You need to be, and a lot of people say MySpace is dead, but if you're an artist or a musician, then MySpace is still very much alive for those two spheres if you find that that's an affinity you can connect with easily. You also need to be familiar with what movements are and how they work. And, you know, there's a great book, Movements That Change the World, by a guy named Steve Addison. And he goes back in history to, you know, the Methodist movement, to the Moravian movement, to the Baptist mission movements and those kind of things and what they have done for the kingdom. And then, of course, I take that and I ask the question, what are the principles we can learn from those movements and how do we apply those in an online environment? So, I mean, there's a lot of tools out there. I would definitely use a service like Covenant Eyes as an accountability tool, part of your ministry, because you're going to run into things out there. You will click on a link that'll take you somewhere you don't need to go. And you need to have people, those who will call you up and say, hey, what happened? What's going on here? You know, for me, my accountability partner for that is my wife. My wife gets my Covenant Eyes report, and she is able to hold me accountable and say, you know, why were you there? Why did you view this video? Why did you think it was important? You know, those kind of tools you need to find and you need to engage. But I would just say, if you'd like, start at my blog and then and engage me on email through that. And I'd be definitely willing to have that conversation with you and even a cell phone conversation with you if you're interested in starting online ministry.